జాతం సగగాన రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం షాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణ పాదం సగగాన లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితం చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే సప్త కాంచన గౌరంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానోస్తుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనిభ్యో వైష్ణవిభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసరి గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే సో హరే కృష్ణ
నాట్ గుడ్
హరే కృష్ణ యు మస్ట్ ఛాలెంజ్ మై మైక్రోఫోన్ వన్ షుడ్ నాట్ హియర్ టు చాంట్ ద హోలీ నేమ్స్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ ఇన్ హెవెన్ అండ్ ఇన్ హెల్ సో వీఆర్ ఇన్ ద హోలీ నేమ్ వీఆర్ సిటింగ్ ఇన్ ద హౌస్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ సో వీ షుడ్ బి మోర్ దెన్ హ్యాపీ టు చాంట్ హిస్ హోలీ నేమ్ సో welcome to today's discussion on Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is on chapter 10 text 28 on the subject of the opulence of the absolute given or mentioned here is a fragment of minute fragment of the supreme lord all wondrous phenomena showing power beauty grandeur or sublimity either in the material world or in the spiritual are but partial manifestation of Krishna's energy and opulence. So we must understand in Asha Upanishad it is stated Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udayashyate. So Krishna is complete and whatever manifestation that is coming out of Krishna is also complete and whatever that is coming out of that manifestation also becomes complete. Only thing is that we do not have the proper understanding. Wow. So, on the verse at hand, Prabhupada has given a very brief purport on Vajrayudham. Vajrayudham, actually, or the thunderbolt weapon represents Krishna's power. How many of you have gone out in the rain? It was raining today also. How many of you were caught in thunderstorm? How many of you heard the thunderbolt? How many of you saw the lightning? As children, as a small child, I remember screaming the moment I heard a thunderbolt strike nearby my HDB block. Although I was sick, but I knew that I was in complete fear of the sound. That is just a fragment of the fragment of the fragment of Krishna's power. So that's what is being explained here, that it is representing Krishna's power. Can you imagine what a thunderbolt can do? right? It's amazing. So, in the easternmost district of Gujarat, many of us have been to Gujarat. Very, very sacred, very sweet place. In the easternmost of Gujarat, there is a place known as Damod. It's located where Gujarat's border is actually meeting Madhya Pradesh and Rajasthan. So if you go there, look for this place. Till the 19th century of this part was actually a dense forest. Of course now you can't see any forest. In fact, it's only 16% of vastly forest land remains. Right? So we had a good opportunity, a good fortune of traveling to that area. So this state is spoken of to have taken its name, Damod, from the sage Dadichi. Now Dadichi, he had an ashram on the banks of the Dadimati River, which is in Gujarat actually. So what's so great about this Dadichi or sage Dadichi? During the time of war between the Devatas and Rakshasas, the Rakshasas started robbing the weapons of the Devatas with their occult powers. You know, they were doing black magic. Okay, we don't even know white magic, but they were doing black magic. So after much deliberation, what happened was they were just simply stealing the weapons. Can you imagine you go to war without your weapon? Right? I remember in the army they say the weapon or the rifle is your wife. You lose your wife, you are in trouble. They tie it to your body. Anyway, that's another entanglement. So much deliberation was done on the part of the Devatas. So what they did was, they went to this sage, very exalted sage, Dadichi, and requested him to protect their weapons under his care. And then after that, what did they do? Shabut. They ran away to save themselves because the war was being lost. They couldn't help it. So they ran away and they hid themselves. Right, in good faith and love for the Devatas, the sage Dadichi kept the weapons with him. Of course, keeping the Devatas' weapon, can you imagine what's the amorous life like? One weapon lost and you're in trouble. But here it is the Devatas' weapon. Amazing. With all sort of weapons. So, that's the material world. Protecting them day in and day out, while even neglecting its own austerity. You know, sage was in dilemma. What to do, you know? Day after day, month after month. And he went on and on and on to the point that he had to neglect his own austerity and tapasya. He had to guard this weapon. So, Rakshasas could not venture or go near him because he was a very powerful sage. So, they were just waiting for an opportunity, you know. Let him just have a wing and then we'll just take everything away from him. But of course, he was so powerful, so he did not, you know, slip out of his guard. So finally, one day, he decided, this is too much. Every day I'm just sitting there looking at his weapon. And my sadhana is going, you know, going. That's it. So this is too much. So what he did was, he decided to put all the weapons in the sacred water, in his waterfall, Kamandalu. Alright? So he took all the weapons, and by mantra, he put everything in his waterfall. And then he mixed them with the water. And then what he did? He took the Kamandalu, he drank everything up. All the weapons were finished, that's it. All were digested by him. And then he thought, ha, now I'm free. No more weapons, no more armory. I can go about doing my penance and my, you know, sadhana undisturbed. So this is what he did. So after a short while, usually this is what happens. After a short while, the Devatas returned. And then they went to the stage. And then they requested, Swamiji, can we have our weapons, please? All our ayuda that we get, all the weapons. We need to, you know, continue. And the Maharishi looked at them and said, weapon? I waited so long. Many moons you never came. Right? So I thought you were going, gone. So what did I do? I just drank them up. So I just put everything inside water and I just drank them. And they're all in my body now. You know, bones and flesh. So it's very difficult for you to take them out. And they were in a dilemma. Devatas were in a dilemma. How to kill a Brahmana? They have to take them out means they have to kill the Brahmana. They cannot do that. That is a great offense. The moment they do that, they will forget about the war. Hey, forget about your weapons, forget about everything. So they were in a dilemma. Because the sage, of course, being very benevolent and very merciful, you know what he did? Out of his tapopalan, he created a fire. And then he entered this fire. And then once he entered his fire, fire, of course, engulfed him and burned him down. Left only remaining bones and some ashes. Alright? So what happened? When that happened, Lord Brahma appeared. Lord Brahma appeared and he converted each of these bones into various weapons and gave them to the devatas. And Dadichi's backbone was given as Vajrayuda to Lord Indra. That's how Vajrayuda actually manifested. So with that, of course, Indra brought an end to the most powerful Rakshasa, Vrishasura. So Dadichi said, not only he protected the weapon, but also enhanced their power, converting them into lethal weapons with the power of his tapasya, penance. So that's how Indra got his thunderbolt. And that is actually only a representative of Krishna's power. So next, Srila Prabhupada speaks about the Surabhi cow. So if you go on Brahma Samhita, you can chant Chinta Mani Prakarasat Masukalpa Vriksha Laksha Vritesu Surabhir Abhipalayantam. So what happens here? Krishna is actually attending to Surabhi, all the Surabhi cows. That's his pastime. Lakshmi Sahasya Satatam Brahma Sevyamanam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajam. Brahma sings, such is my Govinda. What is he doing? He's attending to Surabhi cows. So Surabhi cows are not ordinary cows like we have here. You know, cows wearing bananas and fruits and dancing in the TV. Marigold. Actually, that's an animation. That's not the real cow. You can't do that to a real cow. Somebody even asked me, how do you get chocolate milk? Because the cow ate chocolate. So you get chocolate milk. So much of speculation. So, Surabhi cows are different. You can take as much milk as one needs, and you can milk the cow as many times as you need. And also, when you have a Surabhi cow in the ashram, everything will be up to the brim. Rice, sugar, salt, ghee, everything. All Aishwarya will be there, complete. Such is the nature of Surabhi cow. She will provide unlimited wealth, unlimited opulence. That is the nature of Surabhi cow. So it is not an ordinary cow from the dairy farm. Alright? So this is a special personality. It is actually representing Lakshmi Devi in that sense. Surabhi. So, Surabhi is the name of the cows which existed in the spiritual world. And of the all the Surabhi cows, they are all very dear to Krishna. That is why Krishna is known as Govinda. Go means cow, Govinda means one who protects the cow. Alright? So, in that sense, all the Surabhi cows are very close to Krishna. But then, out of all the Surabhi cows, Krishna has 7 Surabhi cows, which he keeps them as his personal pet. Can you imagine? They are called Mangala, Pingala, Ganga, Sisangi, Manikastani, Hamsi, and Vamsipriya. Now we were wishing, how nice if I was a Surabhi cow. Krishna will keep me as a pet. It's amazing. So these are the 7 cows, Surabhi cows that Krishna keeps. And then of course, we have Padmaganta and Pitangaksha are Krishna's pet oxen. Krishna also keeps pet oxen. And just for your information, additional, alright? Additional to this pet, Surabhi cow, Krishna and Radharani, they have many other types of pets. For example, Suranga is Krishna's pet deer. Datiloba is his pet monkey. Vyagraha and Brahmaraka are Krishna's pet dog. Kalasvana is his pet swan. Dandadika is his pet peacock. Daksha and Vichakshana are his pet parrot. Amazing, isn't it? Did we know this information? It's amazing. Krishna was keeping all these pets. The difference is that when Krishna keeps a pet, it is already liberated. Right? And when we keep a pet, we get implicated. Next life, we become the pet. So that is the difference. So remember what happened to Maharaj Bharat. Alright, he was having the deer, and the next life he had to take a birth like a deer. Because, you see, when Krishna keeps his pet, the pets are concentrating on Krishna's lotus feet. When we keep a pet, we keep our concentration on its lotus feet. So the next life, that's it. Two legs become four, or six, we don't know. Hare Krishna. Some people keep spider, you know. The next life they become Spider-Man. Hare Krishna. So anyway, next Srila Prabhupada speaks about Kamadeva. Now Kamadeva, or lust personified, is not an ordinary personality. He has five names. According to the Amarakosha dictionary, Sanskrit dictionary, Kandarpa is one of the names that is mentioned here in Bhagavad Gita. Then he is also known as Darpako, Ananga, Kama, Panchasri, Smara. That means Cupid has five names. Kandarpa means Cupid. Darpaka means he who prevents future events. Ananga, he who has no physical body. Cupid does not have a physical body. There's a reason for it. And Kama, lastly, lust personified, and lastly, Panchasri. That means he holds five arrows in his bow. At one time, he shoots five arrows. Try beating that. So Kandarpa, as Lord Krishna says in this verse, that means, of causes for procreation, I am Kandarpa, Krishna says. That sex life which is not for sense enjoyment, that sex life which is regulated, and which is specifically for procreation of good offspring, I am that, Krishna says. So in that sense, the word Kandarpa also means very beautiful. Kandarpa appears in Krishna Leela, in Dwaraka, as Pradyumna, right? As Krishna's son. He appears in that form, as Pradyumna. So Darpaka, this name indicates that Cupid can perceive what is to take place and prevent it from happening. See how powerful the devatas are? Specifically, he tries to impede spiritual activity by alluring one's mind, possibly engaging one in material sense enjoyment. So this is how Cupid works. Cupid's secret is out now. So he possibly does this. Ananga, he has no body. Why? Once when Cupid disturbed the meditation of Lord Shiva, the powerful deva burnt him to ashes. You play with Shiva, you get that shit. Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust. Finish. So Lord Shiva still was very merciful to Cupid, and then he gave the benediction that you can act in the world without a physical body, like a ghost. So he still can work, but you don't have a body. Better still, you know, nobody will see him, so it's an advantage for Cupid. He goes all over the place, hitting five arrows. So what is Kama in Bhagavad Gita, right? Okay. Lord Krishna says, Dharma virudho bhuteshu kamosmi. I am sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. Now, Panchasri, the five arrows with which Cupid pierces the mind of the living entity. This is very important. We have to remember this. How we get entangled. How we actually allude into Maya. These are the five things we have to take care. If you have to control these five things, and control, not just control artificially, but channel them to Krishna consciousness, to serve the Lord and the devotees and Guru. So, usually they say the two T's and the triple S. Sounds like misal. Huh? Two T's and triple S. So, taste, touch, sound, smell and sight. Alright? So what happens? First you hear a sound, or you see it, or even smell it. Wow, what's that perfume? Poison, samsara. Then you get entangled. It's all in the market. So, that is one thing. And then, taste and touch. Alright? Wow, nice, huh? The next thing you put it in your mouth, wow, fantastic. That's it. After that, you become fantastic. fantastically entangled. So this is the five things we have to remember. Taste, touch, sound, smell and sight. So what do we do? How do we control this? Tell Cupid, bye-bye, and then you come to the temple. Alright? Then you see the Divya Swarup of Sri Radha Krishna Chandra Bhagavan, Lakshmi Narayan, Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji. And then you hear the sounds of the holy name. Alright? Then what do? You touch the lotus feet of your Guru Maharaj and the devotee. And you taste the prasadam. You smell the flower that has been offered to Krishna's lotus feet. Senses control, but finish. Then you can go back home and fight Cupid again. So the point here is, this is the secret. But the most important thing, it is stated in the Shastra, that the secret to overcome Cupid is to receive the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Without that, one cannot receive his power. That is the, what do you call that? That is the atonement. So now we come to Sarpa Nam Eka Sirasam Matye Svasukir Aham. Among serpents with one hood. Now serpents have many hoods. Those are called Naga. Ananta. Ananta Chesha, right? Chesha Naga. This is serpent. Sarpa. Serpent. So among the serpents with one hood, I am Vasuki. Now who is Vasuki? It's not our previous mate. I had a mate. She was known as Vasuki. So, it's not her. Yet every time Devaki Prabhu remembers Vasuki in the class, his mind was so, oh my goodness. So like that. So Vasuki is the king of the serpents living in Patala Lok. He was born of Kashyapa Muni and Kadri. So these were the parents. And he agreed to be used as a rope around the Mandara mountain to churn the milk ocean. As the supreme cause of all causes and the support of and essence of everything, Krishna is the supreme object of worship for all beings. So in other words, these are all representations of Krishna's energy, Krishna's power, Krishna's opulences. Fragment of a fragment of a fragment doesn't mean they are the Lord. Understood? So we must not be mistaken and bow down to every thunderbolt. You see a thunderbolt, oh, this is Krishna. And you see every time you see a serpent, oh, this is Krishna. You bow down. No, this is wrong. Alright, this is not the correct thing. That's definitely not correct. So when Krishna says, you surrender unto me, and when Krishna actually says that we should think of him, then how? Krishna has given the opulences and all that. Krishna is giving us a glimpse of all that. But how do we actually look at Krishna? How do we actually surrender to Krishna? So 1865, Manmana Bhava Mat Bhakto Matyajimam Namaskuru. Krishna goes on with that. So, to whom is he referring to? There, it is clearly stated that he means Syamasundara, whose transcendental body is the color of a beautiful dark rain cloud. Syamam, Sribanga Lalitam, Nityata Prakasa, who has beautiful hair. Incidentally, Radharani has beautiful hair this ceremony by the mercy of Mother Sunaina. So, threefold bending form, beautiful hair, and who is always wearing a peacock feather on his head. He is standing in his threefold bending posture under a kadamba tree in a delightful grove of Vrindavan, pouring out the nectar of his heart through the holes of the flute that he is holding to his beautiful lips. This is how we should think of Krishna. Amazing, isn't it? This is how we should actually encase Krishna inside the heart, the temple of our heart. And we should always carry Krishna like this, and not other form in that sense. So, Prabhuji and Mataji, here we will give you a small checklist. It's only five. You know, when you go to an interview, they give you five boxes, six boxes. Salary? Expected? So you should write what? How much, right? Somebody then enrolled. Yes. Salary expected? Yes. Hare Krishna. Such is our intelligence. So here we give you checklist. In the process of becoming a devotee. Why? Mad Bhakto. Become my devotee. Krishna says in that verse. First, there is faith. You have to have Shraddha. Faith upon Krishna. that firmly established practice, sadhana bhakti, every day, every time, every throughout the entire life, sadhana bhakti, regulation of vaidhi bhakti is required. So that is known as firmly established practice. And then taste for Krishna consciousness, taste for not prasadam only, not only for prasadam, taste for Krishna consciousness, taste for Krishna katha, taste of the sublime subject for Krishna. So all these are coming in the subject of taste. Then one has to have transcendental attachment. Transcendental attachment means what? You must be firmly attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. Firmly attached to devotional studies. And finally, ecstatic love. Have you got ecstatic love? We have to check. So from this point, it can be said that one has become a devotee. When we have all these five things, that it is stated in the Shastra that you have become a devotee and can really begin to think of Krishna. Now only five check boxes to tick. We have to do a self-check when we go home. Right, these five things we have already spoken. So can we tick one or can we tick all? Tick, 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 tick. Can we become a devotee? Qualified, name tag, devotee. So, next Krishna says, Madhyaji. You see, why I'm going into this subject is because of the opulences. We just don't stop there. We have to know how to surrender to Krishna. Means sacrifice, some form of tapasya. If one has not yet developed any real love for Bhagavan, but or just has little faith, then he has to perform some form of sacrifice. And this sacrifice will be the treatment for material entanglement. A verse concerning this can be found in the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. If you go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Chaitanya Charitamrita, then it is stated there, the deity may be worshipped with 16 kinds of paraphernalia, sodaspara upachara, that means 16 forms of 16 kinds of upachara, that is the standard. And then you can also do 12, and then you can do 5, and then of course. But with all this worship, if there is no prema, love in the puja or worship, and Bhagavan is, he will not be satisfied, because he didn't give it with love. So, the example is given here, when food and water will only appeal to us to the extent we are hungry and thirsty. Alright? You get someone to come here, he said, are you hungry? Yes. Okay, give him 5 chapati. He said, no, not enough. Give me 50. Then he will eat. Once he's satisfied, you give him another 5 more, he says, bas ho gaya. No, I don't want anymore. Because I'm satisfied. Same thing. We had a devotee. His name was Hridayananda Das. Hridayananda Das Prabhu was a 7-footer. Or a 6-footer. 6-foot-plus. Really tall. Even if he bows down, he's still like this. This much is still standing up. So, when we were young, we were serving this devotee. And he came and he took 34 chapatis for lunch, excluding the rice. 34 chapatis for lunch. Just imagine. And he took 7 1-liter bottles of drink, water, and other juices. To the extent, one of Prabhupada's disciples, our Sikh Guru, he went over to Indonesia and he said, Prabhu, I need $35 just for his breakfast, lunch and dinner. And then when we were discussing and talking, he came in. And then we were discussing about his family and so on. And then he said, Prabhu, I'm the smallest in my family. And he said, Chaitanya, I don't want to see your family. But anyway, that is, you know, the taste. So, in other words, when you are hungry, then you take prasadam. When you take, otherwise you stop. So after that, if somebody gives you some nicely prepared vegetables, when you are not hungry, what do you will say? Oh, what have you made? Then you will say, then we probably don't want to eat it and give a reason. It's not enough salt. Or maybe the chapati is not round. It looks like map of India. You know? Or maybe the rasgulla is flat. Something you will say, right? Just to escape. We don't want to eat. So, the same thing. But if the moment you are hungry, even if a chapati is very stale, you will put some lemon juice, something to enhance the taste and just, boom, that's it, it goes inside. Wow, very nice today. Prasadam was excellent. Actually, it was 2 weeks ago, the chapati. What to do, you know? That is the mind. So, similarly, if a devotee has no prema, Bhagavan will not feel hungry for his offering and will not be satisfied by that devotee's worship. On the other hand, if a devotee's prema has made Bhagavan hungry, he will accept the offering whether there are 16 kinds of paraphernalia or just one kind. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that you just have to offer patram pushpam phalam soyam yomi bhaktiya priyasate. Right? Such bhakti upavadam asnami priyasatmana. So the thing is that he will accept a leaf, flower, fruit or water with love, bhaktiya priyasate, with bhakti and priya. And a devotee should always have this love that makes Krishna hungry. That is how our seva must be. We must be 100% focused in cooking. I'm cooking for Krishna, that means nothing else should disturb me. I'm focused, I'm putting this, I'm putting that, I'm doing that because I want to offer this to Krishna. That focusing must be there. I'm doing this polishing because this is going to be in front of the Lord. So it must be focused. But if I am focusing, tomorrow what? Vasantam Central got what? Finish. That is not seva. That is being mechanical. That is not seva. So Krishna says what? I reward you according to your surrender. What will happen? The next thing, you will know what is happening in Vasantam Central. Not bhakti, not mercy. So we have to understand this thing. So the supreme dharma for human society is pure devotion to Adoksaja, the transcendental person. This devotion must be free from ulterior motives and practice constantly to satisfy self completely. In other words, even becoming a devotee, alright, there are four kinds of people who surrender, right? So even after becoming a devotee, the mind will become, or rather harbor, selfish thoughts. I'm going to do this and this and this for Krishna. You see what he do for me. Sit for that. And that is devotional service with ulterior motive. So this is wrong. So we have to understand that if we perform an activity for our own pleasure, we can understand that it is done out of karma, lust, not devotee. So at one time, you know, Guru Maharaj is sometimes known as Guru because Guru also means heavy. So there was one time His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj was giving class. I was seated in the front. Of course, my spinal cord was moving up and down. You know how he speaks? Simhaguru. When he speaks, he really can be heard. He doesn't, even without his microphone. So, as he was speaking, there was this mridanga player. He was from India. I know he was very tired. So, while the class was going on, he was going on. Over the mridanga. That was then. Immediately, Maharaj's eyes fell on that person. And he said, "You!" Maharaj went like that, and immediately everybody was like, "Who? You mean who?" And Maharaj said, "You!" And then he pointed, and immediately his sleep just simply disappeared, and he was full attention. He was up, and he said, "What's your name?" And then the devotee said, very softly, "Premada." That's all. And Maharaj said, "What?" And he said, "Premada. You are not Premadas, you are Kamadas. Change your name." Immediately, the whole room was so quiet, you can hear a pin dropping. "Go wash your face and sit at the back," Maharaj instructed. So like that, sometimes we have to be very conscious about what we are doing. And there should not be any form of karma, any form of self, ulterior motive. So in other words, you see, we must understand this point. No desire for our own pleasure should remain. Otherwise, the worship becomes impure. Most householders pray when they are performing daily worship. What do they say? "Prabhu, I offer the fruit of all my activities at your lotus feet." Very nice statement, right? But for what is it for? Prabhu will be asking. The Lord will be obviously asking. So you are giving me all this for what? Then you say, "I just desire the happiness and peace of myself and my family members." Family members. Can you imagine? So we should not offer daily worship with such desire. It is mechanical, self-centered and full of lust. Just like there was one time, just last week, I was walking around the street. And then there was this man sitting up at street level, counting this much of notes. And I was thinking, in the dark he's counting money, must be a thief or maybe he just earned his salary, I don't know. I just walked, and then we were talking, and then I was trying to do some preaching as usual. And then he said, "You are from the Hare Krishna." I said, "Yes." "My brother is in ISKCON also. But for me, my mind is not surrendered." He said that. And I was thinking, "Oh, your mind has to be surrendered. Oh, boy, oh, boy." Then he said, "I am yet to give up a lot of things, so I cannot surrender. You see, for me, spiritual life, maybe later stage lah." He was telling me like that. Then I said, "Later stage, spiritual life or Yamaraj? I don't know." I was thinking like that. The point here is, this person was actually indicating to me that how will he surrender? He will surrender that when everything, okay, all surrendering to Krishna is not something that we can perform only when the scene is set right. Right? I have the correct chanting beat, the correct size, the correct weight, then only I will chant. What is it? So, it is not like that. It is set right according to our whimsical mind. So how can we do such things? This is all wrong. If that is the case, then Gajendra, when he was bit by the crocodile, he should have asked for half time. "Excuse me, half time. I want to pray to the Lord. Oh, absolute truth, please help me." Then come back and fight again. Right? Because the scene is set right. This is all nonsense. So it is foolishness of the mind. The problem here is, 24 hours we are tormented by the material enemy. All from all sides and from all parties. Believe me, at home, at work, at site, everywhere. In the bus, in the train, everywhere you are tormented. You just stand at the MRT, close your eyes, and don't open. Somebody will be staring at you. You'll be tormented. You know? You're sitting in one seat, and then you open your eyes, you know, you're tired, you just fall asleep, and then you open your eyes, a few fellows will be staring at you. And then when you look carefully, there'll be one old man standing there. And quickly you have to stand up. Tormentation. So all sort of tormentations are there. But why do we have to deliberate and delay our rendering? This is utter rubbish. So Krishna says in the 10th chapter that he explains all his opulences very specifically and thereby reveals himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the source of all in all. Krishna also tells his pure devotees that how his pure devotees will know about him. And then he is saying that he is the source of all stages, and he is also the source of all material and spiritual worlds, and the source of all qualities and attitudes. Such pure and wise devotees worship Krishna, converse about him, and with thoughts dwelling in him, undeluded by anything, and free from sin, engaged in his service. When you do that, and we all do that, out of compassion, because Bhagavan is Paramakripanidhi, ocean of mercy, because of that, Krishna, who is sitting within our heart as Paramatma, he will destroy any remaining ignorance. And then, we can be situated in proper Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, corrections? You have exactly 10 seconds. No. Good. See, the thing is, just now we were all reciting the Chatur Sloka. Right? Krishna says, "Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante maam pura bhava samantitaha." We are just chanting like a parrot. We must absorb it and put it inside our heart. I am the source of all spiritual and material world. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this, engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their heart. So this must be embedded in the heart 24 hours a day. Krishna is everything. Krishna is the source of everything. He is my worshipable Lord. Like that, it must be soaked. When I was speaking to Venkatesa Bhattacharya, a very close friend of mine who went to India, he was serving in Perumal temple. We used to sit in the Madapalli, the kitchen where they cook. Don't ask me why I went there. So, he used to give me sweet rice. Anyway, we used to sit there and we used to discuss the Alvar Divya Prabandha, 100 verses, book by book, we used to discuss. And he used to say that when you chant, every nerve of your body should be chanting. Can you imagine the concentration? Every nerve of your body should be chanting, just like Hanuman. When he's resting, the skin pores will be chanting, Ram, Ram, Ram. So this is how you should conduct your chanting. And then someone was asking, "I have, you know, difficulty this and that." He said, "Four in the morning, four in the afternoon, 4 in the evening, 4 in the night. I was thinking, wow, this is some kind of doctor. 4 rounds in the morning, 4 rounds in the afternoon, 4 rounds in the evening, 4 rounds in the night. 16 rounds, that's it. So he was saying like that. Of course, we can chant in the morning, all your rounds just to say. So that is Brahma Muhurtam. So like that, we have to embed all these things inside our heart. And then we will be a little bit, like LKG, a little bit situated in Krishna consciousness. Grantara Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Gaudiya Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Isai Gopi Manandi.